Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Well, church, we've been on the Storm series. I hope you've been enjoying that over the last 4 weeks. And really taking on the subject of, you know, what does God's word have to say when hard times come into our life, when challenges come into our life, when we're dealing with difficult situations in our world? What does God have to say about that and working through that? Well, today we're wrapping up the series with part five, and my son Joel is going to go ahead and bring the word here this morning. So let's give him a hand as he comes.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Celebration Church. As the pastor mentioned, I'm not the senior pastor of this church, but I am trying to take his job. And so we're going to get into a sermon today, and we're going to talk about Daniel. And we're going to go through a little bit of the book of Daniel. And Daniel goes through all sorts of things in the Bible. If you're not familiar with the character Daniel, I want to kind of get you up to speed with what he went through in the Bible. You see, Daniel lived in an area, and in this kingdom, the king was going through some tough times. He was having some nightmares, and these nightmares were stopping him from sleeping. And so this king, he's like searching out all the wise men in the area, all the magicians and the fortune tellers, and all the people in the area that he thought could help him interpret what these nightmares meant and help him start to be at peace and sleep again. And no one could seem to help this king out. No one could seem to help figure out what these dreams meant. And so the king decides, okay, every single person in this land that should have been able to help me with my dreams, since no one can help me, you're all gonna die. I'm killing everyone in this land. This is real, this is in the Bible. He's like, I'm just gonna kill everyone. And included in that everyone was this guy, Daniel, that we're gonna talk about today. And Daniel hears, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die because somebody else couldn't interpret this king's dream. And so Daniel finds out, I'm gonna die. So what does Daniel do when he finds out he's going to die, and it's not even his fault? He's innocent, but he's gonna die anyway. He decides, okay, I'm gonna go to the guy who's planning my death. So he goes and he seeks out the person who's gonna execute him. And he's like, I'm gonna call off my own death today. He goes to this guy who's gonna execute him that the king ordered to execute him. And he's like, hey, don't kill anybody. We're gonna figure this out. And see, Daniel had faith in God, the same God that we have faith in. Daniel had faith in that God, and he knew that his God would get him through this tough time. So when he's supposed to die, he goes to this guy who's gonna execute him, and he says, don't kill anyone yet, I'm gonna figure this out. And then he goes to the king who decided that everyone was gonna die, and he says, just give me a little bit of time. Just give me some time. I have faith in a God that will get me through this tough time. I have faith that my God will help me interpret this dream. It wasn't about anything that Daniel had inside of him. It was just about who he knew that God was and the God that he was serving. And sure enough, God helps him through this tough time. He interprets the dream and his death is called off. Crazy good story. Later on in the book of Daniel, he goes to another king. And this is a different king reigning at the time. And this king, they're at this party, and there's some writing on this wall, and this king's trying to figure out, okay, what's this writing about? Like, what's going on? Who wrote this? What does it mean? And they're saying, the people of the town are saying, hey, there was this guy, Daniel, who got, his God got him through this and helped him interpret this before. Let's try and figure this out. Now, the cool thing about it was, in the first story that I told you about that king, that he interpreted that dream, after In the book of Daniel, it says that after he interpreted that dream, that God was glorified. So Daniel was like, hey, this is all God. So God was glorified. The king realized that God had done this. And Daniel was promoted to a higher position in their land. Super cool. Like, Daniel got to be in a better place because of who his God was. And Daniel got to be promoted in that land because of who his God was. And then he goes through this other thing with this next king where he needs interpretation again. And this king's like, man, I'm going to promote somebody. I'm going to give somebody some riches if they can help me figure this out. And what happens is Daniel's put in a tough situation because God helps him interpret what's the writing on the wall. And the writing on the wall is telling this king, hey, you're going to lose your kingdom and you're going to die. Like, great news. Like, thanks, Daniel. Like, thanks, God. Like, I got to do this. And Daniel's like, all right, king, don't shoot the messenger here. Like, you know, like, and so Daniel is put in a situation where he has to tell another king, hey, you're actually going to die and you're going to lose everything. Like, Daniel could have ran away, but instead he's just like, okay, God gave me this interpretation. He tells the king, hey, this is what happens. What happens? This is what's going to happen. You're going to die. He tells the king that. And still the king's like, wow, this is amazing. God was glorified. Everybody knew that Daniel's God had done this. And again, Daniel gets promoted. Good things are happening because of who God is in Daniel's life. Another time later in the story, like Daniel goes through some rough times, and we're only going to chapter 6. We're not even going through the whole book of Daniel this morning. But Daniel goes through some tough storms. And again, some people want to take him out. Like, some people hear about Daniel, they hear about how he keeps getting promoted. And these guys are like, man, we need to kill this guy. Like, we need to take this guy out. We are sick of Daniel. So what do? They go to yet another king, because the last king died, just like Daniel said he would. And they go to another king in their land and they're like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We think for the next month, people should only praise you. People should only worship you and you alone. And so the king's like, okay, let's do this. Let's do a month challenge. You know, there's all kinds of different challenges, push-up challenges, that kind of thing. Let's do a month challenge for the kingdom to only worship me. And so he decides, all right, if everybody needs to just bow down to me for this next month, and if you don't, well, we're going to throw you into a pit of lions. This is how they, nowadays they just give you tickets. You just get speeding tickets. Back then it was a little bit more intense. They threw you into a pit of lions. And so this king's like, all right, if anybody disobeys me, they're going to get thrown into this pit. Well, Daniel is like, no. Like, I serve a good God. I've been serving him. He's been faithful to me. And I know that I'm accountable to my God, not to this king. And so I'm going to keep praying to my God. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to let people see that I'm praying to my God. So what does he do? He goes to his room. He opens the windows. He keeps praying to his God. Sure enough, he gets caught. Now, this is the cool thing. Daniel had built up a reputation by this time. So when he gets caught and they tell him he's going to die, the king who decided that he was going to have to die, the king's like, hey, Daniel, don't worry about it. I heard about what your God can do. Like, he's like, don't worry about it. The God that saved you before is going to save you again. And sure enough, Daniel is saved. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's saved. He doesn't get eaten by lions. And the people who tried to kill him ended up being thrown into the lion's den, and they got killed. This is like good stuff. So what happened? What happened again? God was glorified. Like, people knew that Daniel was saved because of his God. And it says Daniel was promoted again. So cool. And if you're in this room today, well, at least I hope you're not facing similar storms as Daniel. Like, I hope no one's threatening to throw you into a pit of lions today. I hope that's not what you're going through. And I sure hope no one is threatening to kill you. But if you're in the room and you're breathing, you're probably going through some sort of storm in life. It might be small, it might be big. And if you're not, we'll just give it a week or two. I'm sure we'll figure something out. Something will come. But the biggest storms that we normally face in life actually end up being inside of us. A lot of times we might not be going through something massive, something crazy big on the outside. A lot of times we're going through storms that are on the inside of us. They're emotional storms. There's storms in our heart, things that just aren't sitting right in our heart. They're mind storms, like things that just keep running through our mind. There's storms about, am I going to be able to pay off my debts? Storms about, is he or she going to break up with me? Like, do they still love me? Man, maybe it's just the storm of no direction. Maybe you just keep running through things in your mind where you just feel like, man, I need a direction for my life. Like the storm of overthinking. Sometimes I feel like I could have a PhD in overthinking. Like, you know what I mean? Anybody with me on that today? Like, you're just overthinking stuff so much. You're like, man, I could be an expert in this. I want to tell you this morning, that your storm is your problem, but it's not who you are. So the things we go through are our problem, but it's not who we are. What Daniel went through, he had to deal with, but it was not his identity. It was not who he was. And if our reliance is on God, then we need to have faith in him. And real faith is a commitment of unbreakable trust. When going through a storm, I believe that just like Daniel in the Bible, see, we're serving the same God as Daniel was serving all those years ago. And I believe that when going through a storm, that our God can be glorified and we can be better off because of it. Like going through the tough things in life, that God can be glorified through those things and we can be better because of it. So this morning, with the 25 minutes and 46 seconds I have left, I want to go through four lines that work in these times. Four lines that work in these times from the book of Daniel. We're pulling this from years and years ago, but I believe that it's applicable to our life today. Four lines that work in these times. Number one, reveal it, don't conceal it. Reveal it, don't conceal it. You see, what happens with Daniel? When he finds out that people are gonna try and kill him, he does not like hide it. He's not like, okay, get me a donkey, get me out of town. I'm gonna go hide in the bushes somewhere. He's like, he goes straight to the source and he reveals his issue. He goes right to the guy. Like, this is some serious faith. How many people, if there was someone trying to kill you in the world, like you would just go right up to him and be like, hey man, why are you trying to, like, would you tweet them? Like, hey man, why are you trying to kill me? You know what I mean? Like, we would not reveal these things. We would like be trying to hide it. We'd be trying to run away, be trying to deal with this in secret. Wouldn't make it public, but Daniel just reveals what he's going through. He goes right to the guy who's ordered to kill him, and he says, hey, cancel my death, because my God's going to deal with this. My God's going to help me out in this situation. He reveals it. And then he goes to the king who ordered the killing, and he says, hey, give me some time. I'm going to figure this out. He reveals what he's going through. In Daniel chapter 2, 14 to 16, he says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He answered the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? And Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. At this, he went to the king and asked for time so he might interpret the dream for him. Like, Daniel rolls up to these people and he's like, hey, I heard you're trying to kill me. Let's figure this out together. Like, let's do this. And sometimes we need to tell someone what we are going through, especially when it's our fault. I think that sometimes in life, like, we create, anybody know what I'm talking about? You create storms in your life. Like, you created a situation and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to get out of this. Yeah, sometimes it's an outward thing that happens, but a lot of times we create the rough things that we are going through. And we have a hard time telling people because we're embarrassed or ashamed of what we're going through. But that doesn't mean you need to go through it alone. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have support. Just because it's your fault, it doesn't mean you need to go through it alone. Look at our boy Daniel. He can reveal his storm. Why? Because he has faith in who God is, and his faith gives him courage to go to the people that want to kill him. He has faith in who God is, and his faith gives him courage. And the key to faith always comes back to knowing who Jesus is. The key to our faith always comes back to knowing who Jesus is. And that's how he gets his courage. It always comes back to spending time with Jesus. And sometimes people have a hard time relying on Jesus because we don't really know who he is. Like, we don't fully know who Jesus is, and so we have a hard time relying on him when we go through things in life. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus, not just an experience with Jesus. There's some people who've had an experience with Jesus and they think they know who he is, but you need to have a relationship with him to really be able to rely on him. See, God is trying to strengthen us through the things we go through in life. And these guys are coming after Daniel. They want to kill Daniel. And God is saying, show them what I can do. Let them know. The better you know Jesus, the easier it is to rely on him. So we need to reveal to people what we're going through, but we also need to reveal it to God. And sometimes that gets confusing for people. Like, doesn't God know everything? He sees what I'm going through. Yeah, but have you really brought what you're going through to God? Like, have you really brought what's going on in your life to God and say, God, have your way? No matter if you feel like it's really hard or just a little bit hard, or maybe you're just kind of confused about it, still bringing it to God needs to happen. just like Daniel did. And what does he say? Don't worry, man. My God will get me through this. What I want to ask you today is your faith lion-proof? Is your faith lion-proof? Like, if you're in the room today and you're kind of like, yeah, I'm into this Christian thing. I check out church once in a while. Yeah, but do you really have lion-proof faith? Like, if you really went through something, what would you look like on the other side? If you were faced with a lion today, what would you look like on the other side? Man, what we're going through, we need to bring to God. Reveal it to him. Don't conceal it. Number two, lines that work in these times from the book of Daniel. Number two, look up, not out. Look up, not out. Man, I love it. I could probably preach this line every single time I get to preach. Like, every single time. I'm sure I put this exact point in another message. I love it. I love it. Look up, not out. And that's a constant reminder for my life. Man, for you and I, like, that's such a good thing to remember, that we need to look up to God, not out at our circumstance. Daniel never looks at his problem for his solution. Daniel never looks to his problem for his solution. Like, okay, this guy's trying to kill me. What if I dodge him? Like, you know, what if I get a 10-speed bike? Nobody else has a 10-speed bike these days. You know, what if I could get away from him like that? Like, he never looks at his problem for the solution. And the reality of facing a lion would freak anyone out. But that's not what Daniel chooses to focus on. That's not what Daniel chooses to focus on. In Daniel 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home." Now, this is a strong point, because he went where people could find him, right? People knew where he lived. He went home to his upstairs room, where he opened the windows towards Jerusalem, right? So he goes home and he opens up his windows like, come and check out what I'm doing. Come and look in here. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So the king put out a decree saying, if anyone prays to any other god but me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you in a den of lions. What does Daniel do? He's like, no, I got bigger faith than that. And I don't answer to you. I answer to my God. I'm going to open the windows. Bring on the lions, baby. It's all good. I trust in my God more than I am worried about pleasing you. It's so good. Like, I think that for a lot of us, if we were put in this situation, we'd be like, okay, maybe I'm gonna stay in a hotel this week, you know, under a fake name. And maybe I'm gonna hide out a little bit this week. Maybe I'll just keep those windows closed a little bit. I still love you, God, but this guy's trying to kill me. Like, but look at what Daniel does. He's not afraid of death, because he knew he was accountable to God more than he was accountable to that king on this earth. And that is something that, as I read this and I worked through this week, was heavy on my heart. Like, do you and I understand that before we are accountable to anyone on this earth, like any government, any ruler, anyone on this earth, any friend, any cultural pressure, do we understand that we're accountable to God before we're accountable to any cultural pressure? Anything that we're put through on this earth, do we understand that we're accountable to God first? You're not accountable to your friends first. You're not accountable to what people think of you first. You're not accountable to any of that stuff, any cultural pressure, before you're accountable to God first. We are accountable to God before anything that we're put through. And this king, even starts to have faith because of Daniel's faith. Like, at the end, it says in the Bible, like, after a night, they throw him, so they find him, he's praying to God, they find him, they throw him in the lion's den. And after a night in the lion's den, this king, he, like, goes to the den, and normally, like, the king would not show up. Like, just some guards show up, they roll it, they're like, did the lions get enough to eat? Like, do we need to go hunt somebody else down? What happens, though? They roll away the slab, they pull away the slab, and this king, look at the faith of this king, he looks down in there and he's like, yo, Daniel, you're good, right? Like, you're still alive, right? Like, he has that much faith that he's like, I know that God's got this guy. It's crazy. It's crazy. And after Daniel's storm, after going through this situation in the lion's den, Like Daniel doesn't just look up for faith. He also looks up and celebrates what God is doing. He doesn't look out, look what I did. You know, I dealt with these lions. They did not eat me. He looks up to God and celebrates what God has done in his life. In Daniel chapter 6, it says, "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." I was found innocent in his sight, and my God shut the mouths of these lions. He's looking up to his God and celebrating what he did. In Daniel chapter 2, earlier on, he doesn't focus on the fact that he's like marked for dead. Like if that was me, I'd be like, "Oh God, oh, like hide somewhere. I gotta get out of here. These people wanna kill me. I'm freaking out. I'm like gonna paint my face and dress up like a Ninja Turtle and hope to hide in the sewers the rest of my life." Like that's what I would do in this situation. But Daniel doesn't focus on the fact that he's marked for dead without an answer. Like that's an important thing to realize, that he goes to that guy who was supposed to kill him. He goes to that king and he does not have an answer yet. He runs to these people and he says, "Hold up, cancel my death. Even though I don't have an answer yet, my God's gonna deal with this. My God will take care of this." It's amazing to see Daniel's faith. He looked up at God, not out at what he was going through. Well, what do we do though? You and I mean, for me, my natural response is always what's most comfortable. Like, what do I normally look to that'll make me feel better? What do I normally look through that might not get me through the situation, but what will make me feel comfortable? What's in closest reach? And sometimes I'm just talking about it. Like you ever meet somebody who's going through something and instead of trying to deal with anything that they're going through, man, like their therapy is just talking about it nonstop. It's like number one on their heart, like number one on their mouth and their mind. Like you ever meet someone like that? Man, I know I can be like that going through. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, how am I gonna do this? What am I gonna do?" And we run it through because that's what's comfortable. We're talking it out. We're like, But Daniel doesn't run around Jerusalem trying to figure it out, like, "Oh my gosh, guys, they're gonna kill me. What do I do?" He looks up. He looks up at God, not out at his situation. The other thing I love that Daniel doesn't do is he does not take on the identity of his storm. Like, Daniel does not allow the name of that storm to get on him. Like, "I'm gonna be murdered just because I'm a Christian." He does not take that on. He does not take on the identity of his storm. Man, have you loved this series so far? Like, this series has been just, I mean, for me, I heard somebody say that this is the best series they've ever heard in church ever. Like, that's like, I don't know about, can we make some noise for how good this series has been a little bit? I needed a drink, so I had to figure out how to get you guys to clap. You're really quiet this morning. I needed that Trump drink of water. Anyways, you know, some people know what I'm talking about. But Daniel doesn't take on the identity of a storm. I've loved this series so much, and I think one of the number one things that sparked me in this series that I fell in love with was the very first testimony that we played when we talked about, when Bernie talked about what he had gone through. In that video, he said a line that I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, "I'm not a cancer survivor, I'm a healed child of God." He didn't take on the identity of his storm. He said, "No, I'm a child of God and he healed me." What's he doing in that moment? He's looking up at God instead of out at what he went through. I love it. I love it. Amazing. I'll never forget that. You're not the name of your storm. Yeah. And what you're going through may or may not have a name, but either way, it does not define who you are. And we can get into that either way, happy or sad. Like Daniel, he's like going through some tough stuff. He doesn't take on the name. But at the end of it, he also doesn't take on the fact that, like, "Yeah, I'm this dude that overcame, that went to this guy, and I canceled this." He just lets God promote him. Right? He's not like, "I'm Daniel the lion tamer. Like, it's all about me." He doesn't look out at what he's done. He looks up to God. And it's not the storm that gives you strength. It's not the storms that give us strength. Like, it's not overcoming the storms. It's what God does because of our storm. It's what God, when we rely on God, when we build our faith around that, it's what God does because of our storm. And too many people are turning to their storm in the time of their storm, going, how am I going to deal with this? When God's saying, hey, look up at me. I'm not asking you to just focus on this. I'm asking you to look to me for the answers. I'm asking you to open your Bible. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to look to me because I want to give you peace. Because you've been freaking out. You've been like going through different things. And God's saying, I want to give you peace through this. I want to help you through this. Look up, not out. Number three, lines that work in these times from the book of Daniel is thrive, don't just survive. Thrive, don't just survive. Daniel doesn't just get through these things. Like he doesn't just like, oh, thank God I made it through that. Everything's okay. I can just go back to normal life. What happens? He gets promoted because of the things he's going through. Like he gets promotion, then he gets promotion, and then his opposition is actually killed because he went through. And I don't think you should be going to work tomorrow being like, God, I pray you kill my boss. Hallelujah. I believe we're gonna thrive, we're gonna do better. I'm not saying that today. But what I am saying is you gotta believe that God's got a better life for you. Like God's got something better and better and better and better, and there's promises. There's promises for your life that God doesn't want you to just get through your 70, 80, 90 years on earth. Like, oh, thank God I made it through that. Now I get eternity. It's great. Like, no, man. God's got a good life for you while you're on this earth, while you are here on this earth. And after every storm Daniel faced, he had a better life, but he had to go through that storm first and get strength from what God did in him. And this can happen to you. We have to think big enough. As people, we have to think big enough to actually let God be God. We have to think big enough to let God be God. Instead of, have you ever tried to give God your answer for what you want? You know what I mean? Like, oh God, I'm going through this. So I'm gonna need you to do that and move that appointment there and get that job, and then the raise will need to come in May. I know you were planning it for July, but we have to remember to let God be God as people and just trust that he knows what he's doing. So when we're going through a layoff, sometimes we're praying for a certain thing. We're praying, God, I need that much money. I need to work this certain job. God, I need that. I want it that way. And you start praying like in sync. I want it that, or is that Backstreet Boy? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. We're praying to God that you want it that way, but God's like, I'm trying to give you more time, not more money. Can you just focus on what I'm trying to do here? You know what I mean? And I've never gone through some really tough stuff that some people have to go through. Like, I don't know what you're going through today, if you're going through a divorce or what situation you're going through, but I do know that it might be rough, but God is bigger than that. And the same God that got Daniel through these tough situations is the same God that's gonna get you through your situation. Man, maybe it's something in your family. Like maybe your kids just won't talk to you. My son hasn't talked to me in 10 months. So I know what you're going through. My son is 10 months old. He doesn't talk. I just trying to make you relax today. But a storm, when we go through things, like we can get to places we never would have gotten to without it. Like Dale could have just went through a comfortable, easy life, but he wouldn't have got the promotions that he was given. He wouldn't have got the promotions that he is given. And God's saying, not only am I going to get you through this, but you're going to be better because of it. Because he doesn't just want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. And the story of Daniel tells us that. But there's other promises in the Bible too. And such a common verse is Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And what people forget is that before that verse, he's talking about the things of this earth. And he's talking about, look at how nice the flowers are. I want to dress you nice as well. He's literally saying, I want to give you good things while you're on this earth. This is Jesus talking. This is later on in the Bible. He's saying, I want to give you good things, but you have to seek me first. Like, you got to prove it. You got to show me that I can trust you. And we look at that verse and it's like, oh yeah, this is super exciting. But it's not just about heaven. He's saying, I want to give you good things while you're on this earth, but you got to seek me first. You got to seek me first. And God wants to give us abundant life. Like God wants to give you abundant life. It says that in his word, not just abundant likes, okay? Like you're like, okay, some of us are like going after abundant likes in our world. Like we got to get this picture right. We got to show our highlight reel, social media way of we live these days. And we're searching for abundant likes because we think our life should look a certain way. And God's like, I'm trying to give you abundant life. Stop searching. Come on, I've been guilty of it before. Like you just put things on social media because you want people to think your life goes a certain way. And people love posting about the brand new car, but they never post the debt and the 89 years they're paying it off and how big their payments are. They never post that side of it, right? And God's saying, I want to give you abundant life, not just abundant likes. And sometimes we feel pressure to get our life to a place where we think it should go. And we get frustrated, like, why can't things be this way? But God is so great that he has a better plan than we could ever imagine. And he has a plan for you. Yeah. Don't frustrate yourself because you think it should be a way that it's not. Yeah. Yeah. And the right response to your storm will strengthen you instead of harm you. Right. The right response to your storm will strengthen you instead of harm you. Well, what does that even mean? Well, you got to trust and be patient. And those things will build our character. Like Daniel had to go through somebody trying to kill him in order to be ready to be thrown into a den of lions and still have faith in his God. And by the time he gets to the lions, by the time he's thrown, like, can you imagine? Like, I don't even like looking at a lion in the zoo. I'm like, ah! And because like, you can reason with people and you can talk to people and whatever, but you can't with a lion. He's just like, I want to kill you. You look delicious. And by the time that Daniel got thrown into that lion's den, he'd already avoided death. And he's like, the same God that delivered me from death before is gonna do it again. Come on, open the windows, bring on the lions. I'm still gonna praise you. I'm still gonna give you everything. And he was stronger because of his storm. And every time you go through and overcome a situation, you gain authority over that situation to be able to speak to us. We go through things and we tackle them, but then we gain authority to live a better life and be stronger because of them, right? We get over things. Like I probably shouldn't be your fitness instructor because I haven't gone through that and figured that part out and got strength over that. But there's some people who could be. But there's other things that I have gone through that have made me stronger, right? Because I've went through those things and now I have authority over them. And when they come up again, I can speak to them and say, my God got me through before because he wants me to thrive, not just survive. I'm gonna figure this out. And number four today that we're gonna go through of lines that work in these times in the book of Daniel is God was exalted, not faulted. God was exalted, not faulted. God was always glorified after what Daniel went through. And if he wasn't naturally, Daniel made it happen. But people started to recognize, hey, this guy serves that God and look at what his life looks like because of it. Daniel always turned his attention to God. And imagine if our prayer for our storms wasn't just, oh God, get me through this. Like, oh God, how can I just get through this? But imagine if our prayer was, God, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this, but I just want you to be glorified. Yeah. Like as long as you're glorified through my situation, that's all that really matters in the end. And here's the crazy thing. We live in a world where no one wants to acknowledge our Creator. Like there's squillions of people in this world that do not want to give honor to God for what he has done in this world, but everything we have is because of him. And I find that way too often as Christians, as people who follow Christ, as people who love Jesus, we are loud about what we think is wrong or right, but we're not loud enough about what he has done for us. And I think that we need to be louder about what he's done for us. And sometimes not focus on, okay, where do I stand on this issue or that issue? Don't be loud about what you think is wrong or right so much. Just start being loud about what God's done for you and show people who Jesus is in that way. Look, that's what Daniel does. And what's the point of going through anything if we don't give God glory afterwards? And after everything we go through, and we work hard for. Like, after all of that, at the end of it, it's all God's anyway. And everything we have, we get from God. The reason you have the personality you have, the reason you have the persistence you have, a lot of times we want to look at ourselves and say, look what I've done. Thank God that I'm like this. But here's the thing. God gave you your personality in the first place. Like, God gave you who you are. God made you who you are in the first place. So everything you have belongs to him in the end anyway, no matter how much we want to take, you know, no matter how much we want it to be about us. It's all on loan from God anyway. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, it says, what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given to you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 3 says, our God gives you everything you need, makes you everything you're to be. You need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally, and your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why? It's only right that we give God thanks. Man, our God needs to be exalted. And here's a line that I want you to get today. It's a little bit confusing. Even when we don't think that God is being God the way we think he should be God, he's still God. Hey, do you get that? Even when we don't think God is being God the way that we think he should be God, he is still God. And so many people, I've heard so many people say, man, I don't believe in that whole Christian thing. I don't believe in that whole God thing. Because, like, if there was a God, like, why do these bad things happen? Why does this happen? Why does he allow that? Why does he do that? And you know what? I don't have all the answers for that. But I do know this, that in Isaiah 55 verse 9, it says his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher, and that's what I trust in. And so if I don't get everything that he does, if I don't get everything that's going on, it's probably a good thing, because I shouldn't understand everything that God does. And I think that you and I need to remember that. We don't have to understand everything that God's doing. But we do need to just glorify him for who he is, exalt him, and remember that his ways are higher. And sometimes we're like, God, why didn't you do what I asked you to do in my storm? And you wanted God to deal with it in a certain way, and he didn't. But we cannot force God to be who we think he should be. Because then this whole thing never works. And we got to stop letting people fault our God and just keep exalting our God. I'm going to grab that snow globe to finish the message off today, because I just can't go on without a snow globe this morning. But sometimes I feel like, some people look at life, and some people like look at what they're going through in life like this llama in the snow globe. I'm not really sure why there's a llama in a snow globe, but anyways, it's 2017. Let's go with it. And sometimes I think that we look at God and we think that, like, oh God, okay, there's a storm in my life and it's so tough, and I'm gonna get through this storm. And just as that storm begins to settle, all of a sudden, oh, again, this happens. How could this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? Like, I go to church every Sunday. I even open the doors and smile at people and welcome them in here. Come on. And again, we're going through something. And we think that maybe life is just unfair, or maybe God puts us through these things. And we're not supposed to just get through this storm and, okay, wait for the next one. Just like this lame llama here, just doing the same thing for every storm. But I don't think that life is like that snow globe. I think it's more like a workout. That things can be hard. Things can be hard. We keep pushing through. We keep pushing through. But at the end of it, man, we're going to be stronger because of it. And right now it's tough. Right now it's tough. But it's going to be worth it later on. Like, right now this is so hard, but you're going to be stronger because of it. Like, keep pushing. Like, you know, you could just have an easy life, but keep pushing, man. You're going to be stronger because of it. And I know that personally I am stronger because of the storms that I've gone through in life, but it's not my storm that gives me strength. It's my God. And I need to remember, look up, not out. And I just believe that that's the case for your life today. I believe that God wants to do something through you. And God, you might be going through something, and God's like, I'm gonna use that for good.
Like, I promise you, it says in my word that I can use everything for good. I promise you, one day you're going to look back and you're going to be able to tell this story. I promise you, you're going to be able to use it for good. But we need to have enough faith that says, man, open the windows. Bring on those lions. The same God that delivered me once is going to do it again and again and again and again and again. And I'm going to be stronger because of it. This morning as we begin to close, I'm going to just ask you to stand up right now. And I just believe that there's people in this room that maybe you haven't had an experience with God yet. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with God yet. And you're not quite sure about this whole thing. And maybe you're in the room and you even have like related to me about, you feel like if God is real, why did different bad things happen? And maybe you're not quite sure about this whole thing, but today what I'm saying kind of resonates with you. And you feel like maybe this is your time. Like maybe this is your time to just step out in faith and just see what God can do through you. See what God can do in you. And I know that there's people in this room that don't quite know this God that I'm talking about, but I want to tell you it's the same God that Daniel served all those years ago. He's still good. He's still faithful. No matter what we go through, we can always rely on him. Always rely on him and be better because of it. If you're in this room today and you're saying, hey, I want to make a decision for him. I want to decide that this God that you're talking about, that I want to live for from now on. I would love to make that decision with you. I mean, God is so faithful, and he, all those years ago, he sent his son, Jesus, to die for your sins. And when he did that, he thought about your name. When he did that, he was doing it for you specifically. And man, I would love, if anyone's in this room today and you want to accept that, you want to start living for him from now on, I'd love to pray with you this morning. So before we close, we can just all bow our heads and close our eyes real quick. And as we end the service today, if you're in this room and you're saying, I want to accept the fact that Jesus died for my sins and I want to live for him from now on, I would love to pray with you right now. You can just shoot up your hand. You just put up your hand. Let me know that you're praying with me this morning. That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. You can put your hand down right now and you just repeat after me as we pray this prayer together. And if everybody in the room could just pray together in agreement, let's say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Today I decide that I'm going to live for you from now on. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give it up for everybody who prayed that this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.